Good morning. I'm so happy to see you here in this beautiful sanctuary and also on Zoom. I know many of you had gone through quite an ordeal without power for many days, and the things that's going around in the air is a really bad ones, like people are suffering from this flu symptoms that's a lot worse than usual symptoms that we see. So I pray that our good Lord will keep each of one of us in good health and spirit, that we can endure the cold and then what is going on, and that we may remain strong and healthy in the Lord. I also pray that we will have special visit from the Holy Spirit this morning, and that we may feel His presence with us, we may hear His voice speaking to us and giving us the message that we need to hear. One night, little Johnny's father came home with two colleagues from work. It was such an unusual occasion for the family to have dinner guests that little Johnny wanted to show how good a son he was and offered to help his mother in the kitchen. There wasn't much that little Johnny could do, but his mom didn't want to discourage him. "Thanks, honey. Would you help serve dessert at the end of the meal?" she said. "Of course, Mom. Anything you say." Little Johnny replied loudly so the guests could hear him. Toward the end of the meal, little Johnny proudly carried in the first piece of apple pie and gave it to his father, showing respect. However, his father passed it to a guest without hesitation. Little Johnny determined to demonstrate his love for his father in front of the guests. He went back to the kitchen and returned with a second piece of pie, giving it to his father again. As soon as his father took it from Johnny, he handed it to the other guests. Johnny found it hard to bear, paused momentarily to process his dad's unexpected behavior, and quickly reached a conclusion. He said, "Nice try, Dad, but the pieces are all the same size." Good intentions are not always perceived as good. At times, they may be viewed as bad. Many heartbreaks and broken relationships stem from misunderstandings. This holds true in our relationship with God as well. Our Heavenly Father always has good intentions for His children. Jesus once shared an illustration about a father. If a son asked for a fish, no father would give him a snake. If his son requests an egg, he would not provide him with a scorpion. A father knows how to give good gifts to his children, and this is even more accurate regarding our Heavenly Father. However, we sometimes misinterpret how God operates. Similar to the experience of Nathanael, Jesus, being from Nazareth, was part of God's plan. But Nathanael didn't perceive it that way before meeting Jesus. Thankfully, his prejudice quickly shifted after their encounter. We will explore Nathanael's two distinct perspectives before and after he encountered Jesus. We see so much negativity in the world today, and Nathanael inspires us to find something good, even in less than positive events. Today's Bible reading is from John 1. The chapter begins with the birth of Jesus and quickly jumps forward 30 years to the start of Jesus' public ministry. After his baptism by John, Jesus called his first three disciples, Andrew, Peter, and Philip. At this point in the chapter, Jesus just began his ministry, and not many, including Nathanael, knew about him. Philip excitedly shared that he met the one Moses and the prophet wrote about. However, Nathanael was skeptical and expressed strong doubt, asking, "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Note how negative his doubt was. Nathanael didn't even bother asking, "Who is this Jesus you're talking about?" He had never heard of Jesus and dismissed him outright because Nazareth was sufficient for his doubt. Why did Nathanael belittle Nazareth? Nazareth was located in a small basin surrounded by hills, which made the village difficult to access. Poor accessibility led to a lack of commerce outside the village. It was a small community with about 300 residents. Even today, Nazareth has around 7,000 residents. The primary source of water was Mary's well, and due to water scarcity, there was insufficient produce for sustenance. Consequently, the villagers lived in poverty. During Jesus' time, carpentry was more prosperous than farming. Yet Jesus grew up in that small, impoverished village because it was God's design that Jesus live in obscurity until he began his public ministry. And God used the geography and characteristic of Nazareth for that. And of course, Nathanael did not know what God intended. Nathanael was a leader of the Jewish council, indicating he was a learned man, highly familiar with most towns in Israel, if not all. His reaction to Philip's invitation was not unusual. Nathanael was quite objective about the facts of Nazareth, and anyone would have responded similarly. Did you notice that when Nathanael met Jesus, Jesus' response was, "You are a true Israelite. There's no deceit in you," which means what Nathanael said to Philip, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" was a true statement, was a very honest statement, because everybody knew Nazareth that way. Now, Nathanael's attitude changed completely after he met Jesus. "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." Nathanael gave the highest acknowledgement possible, meaning, "Jesus, you are the ruler of Israel and the universe." This recognition and confession simply imply that Nathanael's thoughts and attitude toward Jesus were profoundly transformed. We know that Nathanael's transformation was true because Nathanael became one of the 12 disciples. Not many know this, but Bartholomew, and one of the, he's one of the 12 disciples, right? Bartholomew and Nathanael were the same person. One piece of evidence of that is whenever the gospel lists the names of the 12 disciples, if you look at the gospels, you know, they have places that list all 12 names, right? Philip and Bartholomew always go together. Philip was the one who invited Nathanael to Jesus because they were friends and continue as partners in ministry. That's what it indicates. I mean, the Bible has all kinds of hints in there if you look at it carefully. So Philip and Bartholomew, they mentioned together, that means they are closely related to each other. And then in John 21, at the beginning of it, there were like seven or eight disciples together. And then it says, Nathanael was a disciple. All of a sudden, Nathanael appeared, meaning he was one of the 12. So who is this Nathanael that we did not know about? He was a Bartholomew. Now, let's examine two different perspectives of Nathanael before and after he met Jesus. Two different perspectives of Nathanael illustrate how differently non-believers and believers, or believers with doubt versus those with a strong conviction, view things. Once again, Nathanael was a knowledgeable man who understood the Torah and the prophetic books. It was why Philip told Nathanael he met someone whom Moses and the prophets wrote about, indicating that Nathanael knew what Moses, right? That's the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament, and the prophets, book of all the prophets, wrote about. He was familiar with that. Philip was appealing to Nathanael's expertise in the Old Testament. If Nathanael had utilized his knowledge, he would not have reacted so negatively. Nathanael would have considered whether Jesus met the Old Testament's criteria to be the Messiah. Matthew 2:23 says, Jesus went to live in a town called Nazareth. This fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called Nazarene. From the very beginning, God intended to send the Messiah, and every aspect of the Messiah's coming and his life were planned, including living in obscurity in Nazareth. However, instead of adhering to the Old Testament prophecy, Nathanael conformed to the public opinion of his time. How do we perceive the events happening in the world today, especially in the light of many troubling events? We can view them as Nathanael did, either before or after he met Jesus. I see nothing good in my life or in the world. I feel hopeless. This bleak perspective is rooted in facts and objectivity. I mean, look at all the negativity. I mean, we see with our own eyes. We just feel hopeless. On the other hand, we can examine things through the lens of faith. God is my sovereign King. I am chosen by God, and He has a plan for my earthly journey. I believe that everything happens for a reason. Regardless of how the world interprets current event, the ultimate outcome will fulfill God's will. Many rely on facts that appeal to human perception, but miss the deeper truth underneath. Nancy Ortberg, she's a pastor's wife who once served at the Willow Creek Church up in the Bay Area. It's one of the mega church. You may have heard of it. Nancy shared the following story. I was working as a nurse in a busy emergency room. We had a regular visitor, Billy, a cute 2-year-old with freckles and ruffled blonde hair. For a year, Billy had been in and out of the ER with what the doctors diagnosed as asthma. The source of the illness was the mystery to the medical staff. Billy hadn't had asthma as an infant. There wasn't a family history of asthma, and there weren't obvious signs of allergies that would cause it. But the symptoms were asthmatic. Sometimes we treated Billy and sent him home. Other times he would end up in the pediatrics ICU because his breathing was so labored. This continued for about a year, and the staff grew fond of Billy. He came yet another day with breathing difficulties, and one of the medical interns decided on a lock, that's in my term, to fool around, and look up Billy's nose. I don't know why they didn't do that. And this intern found a black jelly bean that Billy's brother had put there a year before. What came out with the jelly bean wasn't pretty. We had treated Billy for the wrong condition for almost a year. In the light of that circumstance, I put signs on the walls of the emergency room that said, "Look for jelly beans." When you are working in the ER, properly diagnosing a problem can be the difference between life and death. The medical professionals, despite their advanced education and extensive clinical experience, diagnosed Billy's condition, misdiagnosed Billy's condition. But they only realized this when someone with less knowledge and experience identified the root cause of the problem. People may be experts in today's troubles, see nothing positive, and be confident in their perceptions. However, they may lack the spiritual discernment to see God's power and purpose underneath. To the eyes of faith, troubles can be like birth pangs. I'll give you an example. Some futurist scholars predict that communist China, facing serious economic woes, may soon collapse, fragmenting into many countries. Due to the prolonged conflict, Russia has weakened significantly, even resorting to conscripting soldiers from North Korea. A South Korean scholar in international politics interprets the decline of these two neighboring superpowers as a sign of the potential collapse of North Korea, presenting a rare opportunity for the reunification of North and South Korea. I mean, I've never been to North Korea, but soon I may be able to. We all need the ability to discern, which we can cultivate by recognizing God as our ruler and king, just as Nathaniel did. Let us focus not on the negativity of our Nazareth, our life circumstances, where we live, where we belong, but on Jesus, who has everything under his sovereignty. Jesus, you are our king. Grant us discerning eyes to recognize your plan and purpose for us, even in our troubles. Amen.